Why is it that you think that Christians often struggle with shallow faith? Hey, grab your Bible, turn to Mark 9, stick around. We're going to look at what the Lord said in regard to help my unbelief. Hey, folks. Welcome back to Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina's Wednesday evening Bible study. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of Mark chapter 9 this evening. So if you have your Bible, please go ahead and turn on over there with me. Just a little while ago, I asked you the question, why do you think that Christians often struggle with shallow faith? Is there something particular in your life that you struggle with when it comes to your faith? You know, as we look at our passages today, we're going to get some very interesting words that I believe will help each and every one of us. Let's look together at Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 14. Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 14. It says, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him." Verse 16, "And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Verse 20, "Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From his childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him.' Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief.' When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I have commanded you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead. So that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So he said to them, 'This kind can come only out by nothing but prayer and fasting.'" Let's pray together this evening. Father, as we come to you, we simply ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our minds to your scriptures. Lord, I pray that that we would take these moments to focus upon you, to concentrate upon your movement in our lives. Lord, you all want us to be tremendous when it comes to our faith. Father, help us to look beyond our disbelief into our belief in your power and Lord, your mightiness. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Move us close to you. Reach out to those that are wayward. And Father, we pray you'll reach out to the lost. Use this, your servant, in these moments that you and you alone truly would be exalted. As Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in our story that we're looking at here, the father of a sick boy essentially is coming to the Lord to ask him for help in his unbelief. Now, we've used that particular scripture text many, many times, and I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but once we get there, I think that how we read that particular passage, or particularly where the Father answers Jesus, is how we read that means a lot to how we understand it. So just bear with me there for just a moment until we get to that particular place. But when Jesus came to his disciples, they had been discussing something with his scribes. Now, down there in verses 14 through 16, it says that, particularly verse 13, says, immediately and when he saw them, you know, all the people were greatly amazed and came running to greet him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Now, there could have been the discussion about the fact that the disciples weren't able to call that demon out. Now, you remember the scribes were always trying to catch Jesus, and because his disciples were following him and tending to his word, then there was always something that the scribes and the chief priest as well had to say about, you know, what was taking place and what was going on. Now, if you can insert yourself into this situation for just a few moments, you have a father who has brought a child that something has been happening to. The unclean spirit has been dealing with this child, according to the word, since childhood. So, as a parent, how does it make you feel if you had a deathly sick child? What lengths would you go to seek out help? Now, I believe that according to what this scripture says, the father truly felt and believed that Jesus was the answer to what was taking place with his child. And he thought that since he wasn't there, here were his disciples. His disciples had been going about. His disciples had been given the authority to heal. This father had probably witnessed the disciples do many healings along the way in Jesus' name, as Jesus had given them the right responsibility and the willingness to go and do such. Now, even the disciples were a bit shocked about this. At the end of the passage that we read today, the disciples even asked Jesus in private. They said, what was the problem? Why were we not able to call this demon out of this young child? And Jesus gives the answer. But again, I don't want us to get too far ahead, because I think it's significant specifically with where we are today in our lives and where we are as a church. So insert yourself into this story for just a moment as the father of a child, or even a mother of a child at this particular point. How does it make you feel when you know that you have a child that has an illness that you can do nothing about? You know, when you have to have them at the doctor's, when something is taking place and something is going on and you have zero control over it. How many times have I heard folks say before, you know, if I could trade place with my child, I would do that in a heartbeat, because you want to spare them from that suffering. And here's a father who has been going through this for a significant amount of time, specifically with his child. Now, there were some things that were wrong with him. Verses 17 and 18 shed some light on what was taking place with this father's son. Look down there at verse 17. It says, then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought my son to you who has a mute spirit. Okay? It says, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they could, that they should cast it out, but they could not. So, you know, we're getting a picture of what's taking place with this father's son. It's a situation that if you were to observe it in today's day and age, it may look something like an epileptic seizure. It says that he goes out, he starts foaming at the mouth, and it's because of an unclean spirit. This is something that the father knows, and this is what he has explained to Jesus. Now, it's ironic that Jesus is essentially asking, you know, what's wrong with the child. Jesus already knows all this, but sometimes he wants us to come to him for us to share our hearts with him. Yeah, I've often said this: the Lord already knows what the need and the desire of our heart is, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't want to hear it from us. It doesn't mean that he doesn't want us to come to him in fervent prayer to seek him and to seek his answers in the solution to our problems, the solution to our situation. So this son's sickness was attributed to an unclean spirit. That's what the word tells us. It wasn't just something that he had that was a physical malfunction with his body, but it the word attributes this to an unclean spirit. Now today, you know, I often ask folks this: do you believe that unclean spirits can cause sickness in people today? You know, if people ask me that, my answer to that is certainly they can. If you think about it, and you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, sickness was not part of what God had created for man from the beginning. sickness is something that entered the world through the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, through the sin of Adam and Eve. So, you know, it's not something that the Lord wants for us. It's not something that the Lord had planned for us. You know, age wasn't something that was planned from the days of the Garden of Eden either. You know, the creaking bones that we have and the mental fatigue and all those things, that was not part of God's original plan. So, you know, when I look at it, I still believe with all my heart that unclean spirits can indeed cause sickness today. So, you know, the enemy is always constantly trying to attack us. The Lord always told us, he said, you're going to have to endure some things as one of my children. As you profess and you confess me and you walk in this life today, there are going to be some things that are going to happen to you. And the Word of God bears that out. If we look at Paul's situation over in Corinthians where he had the thorn in the flesh, if you'll notice how that reads, it says, Paul says that there was a thorn in the flesh given to me by Satan, whereby I should not be proud through the abundance of the revelations. Now, we don't know what that sickness that Paul had was. There's speculation from biblical scholars who believe that it may have been something such as his vision. But there was something physical that was taking place in Paul's life. And notice it said in that particular scripture, it says there was a thorn in the flesh given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted through the abundance of the revelation. So he particularly states that. He knew that that was from a demonic type spirit. It was given to him from Satan. Now, you have to keep in mind that this was something that the Lord allowed. I'm not saying that the Lord causes any of this. The Lord, however, does allow things like this to happen in our lives. But he will always, if he allows it, it will always be for his honor, for his glory, for so that good can come out of that for the cause of our Lord and Savior. Now, we don't often view it that way. Too many times we're begging the Lord to deliver us from whatever it is that's ailing us. And that's okay. Listen, it's all right to go to the Lord and ask him to deliver you. But I want to encourage you and challenge you that along the way, look at what's taking place. See what it is that God is trying to get across to you through the midst of that circumstance, simply because there will be a purpose in it. And God is trying to do something. He may be trying to show us something. He may be trying to move us to someplace. But ultimately, it's going to be part of his will for your life. So I do believe with all of my heart that unclean spirits can cause things like sickness today. Because the enemy is going to attack God's people day in and day out. He is going to be relentless, and that's part of the reason why the Lord has always said to us that we need to persevere. We need to hang in there. We don't need to turn our back on the Lord. When I think about that particular situation, I think about Job. How many times was Job wasn't happy to be in the circumstances that he was in? And as he went to the Lord, he even said that statement, "Though he slay me, yet I will serve him." That wasn't because Job was just so spiritual, but that was because Job was mad. Job didn't like being in the situation that he was in. He had lost everything. He'd lost his family. He had lost his wealth. He had lost his home. He had lost pretty much everything. And yet he was saying to the Lord, "I'm going to cry out to you. I'm going to let you know my displeasure in this situation. And if you take me on out of here, then so be it." So Job wasn't happy to be where he was, and he was going to speak his presence to the Lord, and he did just that. Listen, it's okay for you to go to God. It's okay for you to go to God and say, "Lord, I don't like being here." You just have to understand that in the end, just like Job said, "Though he slay me, even if he takes me out of here, yet I am going to serve him. I'm not going to turn my back on him. I'm going to stand strong in the Lord. Even though I don't understand why the things in my life are taking place, I am still going to trust that God has a plan for it. And I'm just going to ride that out through to the end." May we be able to be just like Job in that particular circumstance or situation. Now back to the passages that we're looking at over here in the Gospel of Mark chapter 9. And I simply ask you, why do you think that the disciples were unable in this case to cast out the unclean spirit from the boy. Look at verse 18, and it says, "And whenever it seizes him, that being the unclean spirit, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Why is it that you think that they were unable to do this? Now, yeah, I believe with all of my heart, too, that that the Lord had some lessons along the way that the disciples needed to learn. I mean, they felt like they were in the groove, being able to be exactly what Jesus wanted them to be. And this was a task that the Lord had given them that they should have been able to do. And yet, when they were not able to, it created some question within their mind. Now, how many times has there been question in our mind when we have relied on the Lord and it didn't come out the way we thought it was going to come out? Sometimes that shakes our faith. Folks, don't allow something like that to shake your faith. You have to understand that God not only has a plan, God has a timing for his plan. He's got some lessons for you and I to learn along the way. On our way to becoming something for the Lord, we're learning. We're in the process of learning things that we can hold in our hearts and hold in our minds that will grow our faith, that will make us stronger. That is why discipleship is so key. That is why discipleship is so important. And when I say discipleship, I'm talking about getting into his word. I'm talking about being able to pray so that when you come across those questions that that you have that you may not be able to answer, that regardless of what happens, you're going to trust that the Lord's plan is right on time and it is perfect for our lives. He's not going to tell us everything. There are going to be times in our situation where we're not going to really understand what it is that God has going on. So, yeah, even as baffled as they were in this particular passage, they went to Jesus and said, and I love how it said this, it said they went to him privately. In other words, not out there in front of everybody. Now, maybe that could have been because there was a sense of embarrassment that they had, maybe because they felt like there was a sense of failure, maybe just because other people were looking on. But privately, they asked Jesus, and I'm going to translate that into today's speak. They looked at Jesus and said, "What happened? Why weren't we able to cast that demon out? You know, what was the story with that?" In verse 19, Jesus gives them the answer. He says, it says he answered and said to them, verse 19, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Now, there's something interesting about that particular verse, and I want to give that to you. Verse 19, in the different translation, in an English Standard Version translation. The ESV says this, it says, "And he answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." Almost like in a sense of frustration, kind of like, you know, what a faithless. Now notice what he said. He said the problem in regard to the reason why they couldn't cast the demon out of this child was because of their lack of faith. Notice what he said in verse 19. He said, "Oh, faithless generation." Now, when we talk about faith, we talk about faith being the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. How many times have we looked at situations and they seemed like Mount Vesuvius out in front of us? How many times have we looked at something and we've said, "There's no way I can do this. God is going to have to do it if it is going to be done." And then there was that something inside of us that said, "There's no way this is going to happen." I believe that if you're honest with yourself, that's happened to every one of us. Or when somebody has come to you and they have given you this tremendous prayer request, and you're thinking that they're going to ask you, they said, "Brother, I want you to pray for me about something." And you're like, "Oh, sure, I'll be happy to do that." And they give you something that is going to take a movement of God to see it through. And when I think about situations like that, I think about the time that our team was on the mission trip in Cuba, and we would go and we would pray for pastors, and we would ask them, "What is something we could pray for you about?" And of course, oftentimes we would hear, you know, that our witness would be strong. Pray that the Lord would increase our flock. Pray that we're protected from government persecutions. Those things that you would almost expect. But one, I still remember we sat in that house one day, and the fellow said, "My wife and I would love to have children. We've been trying to have children for about 13 or 14 years. And would you pray that God would bless us with a child? And I'm sitting there thinking, man, that is a tall order. But as I was gathered with a group of our guys that were not faithless, they were faithful. They believed with all of their heart that God could and that God would. And we prayed for that family. And I'm pleased to say, not because of who we are, but because of who God is, 9 months later, Elizabeth was born. And we had the privilege when we were back the next year to do a baby dedication for her at the church. And what a joy that was. But you know what? That was something we couldn't handle. That was not something that we could personally make happen. It was going to take God. And as we gathered around and as we prayed that God not only would grant that, or not only could, but that He would. I love it where a great prayer partner of mine over the years, I'll just call him by name, Randy Minix. I love how he stated this particular issue that this father was in. You know, when we think about that and we go to the Lord, sometimes we say, Lord, I know you can. The question is, will you? Is it part of your will? So, Lord, it's not a matter of whether or not you're able to do that. And I think all of us find ourselves in that situation where we believe, yeah, God, you're able, but the question is, will you? And I think that's what kind of shakes our faith along the way at times. And that was where this father was. But Jesus goes on. Let me get back to where he was talking about his disciples, because his disciples came to him and said, well, why is it that we weren't able to do that? And Jesus tells them about their inability there in verse 19. And he says that the problem was their faith along the way. And so Jesus said that, let's go back where Jesus was talking to the father. And he asked the dad, and I said this before, there's a reason why Jesus asked questions, because he already knew the answers. But he asked, how long has the child been suffering with this? And verses 20 and 21 say that he had been suffering with this since his childhood. So this is something that had been taking place for quite a while. It wasn't something that was that could be attributed to, well, he's just had this over the past week. And then after it took place, maybe it wasn't Jesus that healed him. Maybe it was just a freak situation that happened in his body, and it was for a week. Well, no, this says that this had been going on with this child for a long time, since his childhood. So therefore, that helped pronounce the miracle that Jesus did in the boy's life, to be able to point to the fact that it was Jesus who healed him. That was just another proof positive that he had, because it wasn't somebody could say, oh, well, that was just a coincidence that Jesus happened to do that. Your boy just had gotten to the end of his illness at the time that he met Jesus. They couldn't say that, because this was something the boy had from childhood that was not going away. Now, when you think about the situation with the boy's father, how would you describe the faith of the boy's father? Now, we were talking about that a second ago, but go to verses 22 and 23. It says this. It says, and often he's describing what is going on with his son. Verse 22 says, and often has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. This is something that this demonic force was trying to destroy this boy. It says it would throw him into the fire. Imagine that. Imagine being the father and having to watch these things take place. And this boy is convulsing in the ground, and this unclean spirit is trying to throw him into the fire to destroy him, or throw him into the water to drown him. The father is explaining this to Jesus in verse 22. It says, and often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him. Now, that is a key statement. Notice how it read. It says, but if. That's almost that's an if-then statement. If you can do anything. When you say if, when this father said if in this statement, was that a proclamation of faith? Or was that a proclamation of maybe it can happen? Now, Jesus' answer, often when we read it, we don't read it with the right inflection. So what I want us to do, I want us to go over to verse 23, and I want us to see this verse again. This is how Jesus responded to the boy's father. He said, it says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, that sounds like a really calm statement, doesn't it? Now remember, let's go back to what the Father said, and let's look at it written in the ESV translation, and I think you'll begin to understand more about how Jesus' answer to this man said more than it just appears when we superficially read it. Okay, back to verse 22, the end of verse 22 says, the Father says to Jesus, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now here's Jesus' answer as written in the ESV. In verse 23 it says, and Jesus said to him, if you can, think about it for a minute, if you can, then he says, all things are possible for one who believes. So that was a statement that Jesus was making when the Father said, well, if you can do anything, Jesus is like, what do you mean, if I can? It's not if I can, I can. All things are possible for one who believes. Now, that should tell us something right there. Jesus doesn't want us to be the faithless generation that he saw in his disciples in this particular case. How many times is it that we've gone to prayer and we're like, Lord, if you can do something to help here, Lord, if you can. It's not if. We can. Remember what I said about my prayer partner, Randy Menix. Randy would often pray in our group, and Randy would often pray out loud, Lord, it's not if you can. I know you can. The question is, will you? So look at that for a minute. Look how Jesus answered in verse 23, his response to the man. If you can. In other words, he would say, what do you mean if I can? I certainly can. But he went on to tell the Father, all things are possible for the one who believes. So now where does that place you in your faith? What does that say about you as you pray? What does that say about the things that you are praying for? How many times have we gone and said, Lord, I would love you to work in this situation in my life. I would love for you to work in this situation in my children's lives. Lord, but it kind of in our heart, we're just like, well, I don't really know that he's going to. Is that really praying with the faith that God wants us to pray with? Is that really saying, Lord, I know you can. I'm just waiting on if you will. Is the timing right? It's not a matter of if you can. Folks, let me tell you today, 100%, there is nothing that our Father in heaven cannot do. There's nothing he cannot change just like that. The question is, it's not if he can. The question is, will he? Yeah. What was the Father's prayer concerning his need for faith? Verse 24 tells us that the Father understood what it was that Jesus was saying. In verse 24, it says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. And he was saying, Lord, I know you can. Help me with that thing inside me, that flesh that battles that says, either you can't do it or you won't do it, or Lord, I'm seeing this situation is monumental. It's far out of my hands. There's nothing I can do about it. I am trusting that you can. You're not relegating God down to where you are. Folks, there are many things in our lives we cannot do. I can look at a task and it is too monumental for me to do, but I can promise you it's not too monumental for God to do. I can look at situations and people say to me before when somebody has something like cancer and we're praying for them and people say, well, do you really believe? I mean, this cancer's progressed, the statistics aren't that good. Do you really believe that God can turn that around and heal that person? Let me state to you emphatically, yes. I believe that without any shadow of a doubt. And when I pray for somebody in that manner, I am praying believing that God can do it. I'm like my brother. Lord, I know you can. I'm just wondering if you will. It's not a matter of you being able to handle it or not. So is our faith that way in our prayers when we carry them to the Lord? What was the Father's prayer concerning his need for faith? He said, Lord, I do believe. Help me with the part of my unbelief. Help me with that. And some of us probably need to pray that prayer as well. Lord, I believe you can. The question is, will you? Think about this Father's prayer. This Father's prayer is a real example for us to follow, particularly if we're struggling in the area of our faith and when it comes to prayer. And this Father's faith was a blessing to his son because the Lord honored his faith. The Lord healed his son. When we think about that, I've said before, when we put ourselves in the predicament of our children, how many times has somebody come to me and said, man, I want you to pray for my son or my daughter. They're going through this situation, whether it was health, whether it was circumstances, whatever it may have been. And they've said so many times, I would trade places with them if I could so that they wouldn't have to bear this. Folks, let me tell you, Jesus can change it. Yeah, you just have to believe that he can. Jesus said something in verse 25 to the unclean spirit. It says, when the people, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Now, I've often said that Satan can be a little bit tricky. He may jump out there and those unclean spirits may come out, but I love what Jesus added there. It says, and enter him no more. That this unclean spirit was forbidden to enter back into this boy. There's a passage of scripture that I think too many times we glaze over where it talks about a person who had had an unclean spirit, and he likened it to a house. He said, you know, once you got all the uncleanliness out of it, once the Holy Spirit came in and cleansed everything out, it said that there was a time frame when all of a sudden it said not only did the spirits return, but it brought friends with it. It brought more. So it was actually worse than it was before the spirit was cleaned out of the house. And people have said many times, why is that? Well, my answer to that is this. The Lord has an expectation of us. You know, when you clean out that area, and I say you, I'm talking about the Lord. Only the Lord could clean up that area of your life. But once those things are overcome, you have to fill that empty space with something to keep the unclean spirits from coming back in. And what am I talking about there? Folks, when you've had something that you have dealt with in your life and God has been faithful and he has delivered you from that, you need to take that area where those unclean spirits were and you need to start filling it with the spiritual things. You need to start filling it with God's word. You need to start filling that time with prayer. You need to start filling it with the holy things, and therefore there will not be room for the unholy things in your life. So Jesus rebuked this spirit in verses 26 and 27. Verse 27 says, it says that in verse 26, that once the spirits left him, it looked as if the boy were dead. And even the people around there were saying, I think he's dead. Yeah, but Jesus goes over and he reaches down, he takes the boy by the hand and he lifts him up, healed from that unclean spirit. Notice verse 27 says, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Man, what a blessing that was. Think about what that blessing was for that father. Think about what the lesson was for those that were around that had the opportunity to see what Jesus had done concerning the unclean spirit in the life of this boy. And folks, I want to remind us that the same Jesus that called that unclean spirit out of this boy is the same Jesus that you and I serve today. The same one who showed his compassion towards this child is the same one who shows his compassion to you and I today. You know, and then Jesus answered his disciples' question about their inability to cast out that demon from the boy in verses 28 and 29. Notice what he said in verse 28 and 29. So, you know, when it was all over with, the disciples were alone with Jesus and kind of maybe called him to the side and said, hey, what was the problem? Why couldn't we do this? Verse 28 says, and when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. You know what? You've got to be on your knees. You've got to be resilient in prayer. You have got to be persistent in prayer. And notice what it said at the end of that passage. It said, by prayer and what? That's right, fasting, the spiritual discipline of fasting. Now, what are we in the middle of right here? We started the month of April at Central Baptist Church with a prayer and fasting focus. I'm going to let you know a little bit more about that as we finish up. But my question to you is, what are you doing? You're taking something out of your life, you know, and I said it's not always food. You know, when we think of fast, the first thing we think of is food. There are some other things you can fast in your life. We have people in our church that are fasting things like not being a part of social media, not watching the news. They may be doing partial fasts. And I've said, be very careful. We're not asking you to do a 30-day fast. We don't want anybody in any health issues. If you're going to do something like that, then my recommendation, again, I'm going to say this, do it under a doctor's direction. But that's not what the Lord's even asking us to do. I'm asking you to take the day of Thursday in the month of April to fast, you know, whatever it may be, whatever the Lord has led you to fast. And I'm asking you to make an appointment with the Lord in His house. I'm asking you to come by Central Baptist Church, 1715 Highway 68 North, Oak Ridge, North Carolina, sometime between the hours of 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. And if you're not a morning person, we're also going to have the church open between the hours of 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Nobody's going to be bothering you. There's nothing that we're going to lead you in. We're just allowing you the space, the office space, to make that appointment with God, to come in and spend some time with Him. The fasting is designed for you to take something out of your life to fill it with something that with the Lord, something of the Lord that He is wanting for your life. It is seeking Him on a deeper level than we normally have. We're asking you to do that for your own benefit, but we're asking you to do that for the benefit of the body of Christ that we call Central Baptist Church. Folks, this pandemic has changed everything about who we are, and I believe that it is God's direction for us not to go back to Egypt. So He's got new things on the horizon, and we need to know what those are. And how are we going to find out what they are? By prayer and by fasting, okay? Would you join us in doing that? You know, some of the old manuscripts actually left out fasting at the end of verse 29. When it comes down to spiritual fasting, it is important for us to add that fasting to our prayer. It really is, because it's us making that space for God to do something incredible. And how ironic that we're coming to these particular passages just as we have started our April prayer emphasis. I don't think that's by accident. I think God had all that planned. You know, think about different ways that you could fast in order to give more time towards seeking God, in order to give God those time, that appointment, that time when everything is shut out. Now, folks, I know you probably have your own prayer closet. I know you probably have your own ways that you do that. People say, what is the importance of coming by the church? To me, the importance of coming by specifically during this time is for you to do away with all distractions. It is for you to make an effort to come to the Lord's house. Now, I know there's nothing special about brick and mortar, and you can meet God in any place, but I can tell you it's something special about being in the reverence of our Lord and Savior in His house. I want to encourage you to do that as we progress through this month, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Now, not saying stay the whole time. Come in, pray, and then you can just go right back out. We'll have you some prayer guides and some things we're asking for specific prayer about. So think about those things as we go forward. Today and this week, my challenge is that we would all pray that our faith will continue to grow as we practice the spiritual disciplines of daily Bible reading, prayer, and fasting, so that we might not be the father who says, Lord, I do believe, help me with my unbelief. Rather that we would go to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe, and I'm just asking you, you know, I'm believing that you can do this. I'm not walking away from here saying, well, this is a tall order. I'm not sure you can handle it. No, Lord, I know you can handle it. My question is just whether or not you will. Will you join us as we do that? Listen, this is not something that's just for the month of April. I pray that this discipline of prayer, Bible reading, and fasting is going to last well on through the rest of your life and then into all of eternity. So in just a moment, I'm going to close us out in a word of prayer. I want to give us a couple of items. Our Bible readings for this week, I give you each of the five chapters. The five chapters that you can start reading today as we head into next week is going to be Mark's Gospel chapter 13 through Luke's Gospel chapter 1. Once again, that is Mark chapter 13 through Luke chapter 1. And next week, we're going to be discussing waiting for answers from God out of Luke chapter 1 verses 5 through 25. Waiting is not something that we do very well at all, is it? We don't like to wait on anything, and sometimes it's tough as we wait on God. Join us next week as we discuss that from Luke chapter 1 verses 5 through 25. As a reminder, once again, don't forget our prayer and fasting emphasis for the month of April. The church is going to be open on Thursday morning from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. and then also from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. for you to come by. spend some time in prayer. Nobody's got, I mean, you just come in, you pray, and then as you finish, you can head back out. We're giving you, I gave you last week the prayer focus card for some of the specific things that we're asking you to pray for each week. The week that we're currently in right now, we're talking about personal repentance. We need to make sure we're right with God before we're going to see God do anything great. As we head into this coming Thursday, one of our themes for that week is going to be restoring right relationships. I like what the Lord said in His Word when He said, you know, if you come to the altar and you have aught against you, leave your gift at the altar, go make it right and come back. Folks, we need to make sure that our relationships are right. We can't be holding aught against people in our hearts and in our lives if we want God to do some incredible things. So that's what we're looking at as we come up on our April 8th Thursday meeting. We'll have something that you can use throughout the week, scripture-wise, to help you along your journey when you're looking at restoring those right relationships. So please join us this coming Thursday. Now, also, I want to remind folks, as we mentioned this past Sunday, we will have a call conference on April the 18th after the morning service. We'll do this just like we've done in the past. We'll have a yes or no vote. This call conference is for the purpose of voting on a recommendation from our finance team on a way to potentially cut our mortgage down to 5 years. So we would only have 5 years left to pay on the mortgage of the building. We have information on that in both of the lobbies of our sanctuary as well as outside the church offices. You can pick that up. If for some reason you need that information sent to you, contact our church office during business hours. We'll see if we can get you an email copy of that. And we're also asking you, as you look it over, if you have questions, contact our finance team. You can contact the finance team through the email of finance@oakridgecbc.org. Once again, that is finance@oakridgecbc.org, or you can call one of our finance team. We can get you their numbers if you'll call the church office. Please don't hesitate to call them. If you have questions, they want you to ask them so that you can feel satisfied as we come into our April the 18th call conference. Don't forget that. Mark that on your calendar. Call conference for that specific business. Also, just as a reminder before we close in prayer, we will have our lawn seating open up again starting this coming Sunday. For those of you who came through the pandemic with us last year and while the weather was still warm, we invited you to bring a lawn chair, set outside. We're still working out some kinks on how we're going to get the audio to you, but we'll make sure that we have that come this Sunday morning. So if you feel better and the weather's good and you would like to sit outside, we encourage you to do that. We'll hear that service from the lawn. And if you're in the cars, again, radio broadcast is 105.5 FM. But we'll make sure that you've got something. We're working on that now. I'm thankful to Don, Tim, Blake, Ernie, and the whole crew that has worked extra special hard to make sure that that we not only come through this pandemic, but that we flourish through it and being able to get the Word of God out. Final announcement before we go. Our first annual Central Baptist Open Golf Tournament is going to be coming up on May the 1st. It's a four-man captain's choice. If you would like to field a team, we do have some forms. I think we listed them somewhere on our Facebook page a couple weeks ago. If you scroll through it, you'll probably see a form that looks like this. I believe it's available on the website as well. The cost on that is $200 per team. You can also buy some mulligans, tee busters. This is just designed for us to be able to get together and have some fellowship. We want to welcome you to do that. There is a deadline on registration, and the deadline on that registration is actually April the 24th. So if you got a team, if you don't have a team, if you want to play, give us a call. Let us know. We'll get with you. We'll make sure that we get you on a team some way, shape, form, or fashion. I said final announcement a minute ago, but there was one other one that just came up that I thought about. To let folks know, we are now broadcasting our Sunday morning services at 10:45, not only on Facebook Live, but we are also doing a broadcast on YouTube. So we've got a YouTube channel. Now, what that means is this. If you have access to YouTube, and by the way, I think the audio as well as the video is a little bit more crisp on YouTube, so we want to encourage you, either one of those venues, But if you want to know where it is, you can go to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. You'll see it here at the bottom of our screen. That is our website. Tim has that listed on like three or four different places. You'll see a little YouTube logo where it will tell you how you can get to it. So you can click on that. It will take you straight to our YouTube page. Then once you get there, I want to encourage you to do this. When you see it, there's a little button right underneath the video that says subscribe. Click that subscribe button. We need about 100 subscribers. We're a little over halfway there. We have 51, but that will give us an opportunity to do a little bit more maintenance on our site to make it a little bit more user-friendly as far as the names and that sort of thing. So I want to encourage you, listen, even if you're not going to watch on YouTube, go over there and subscribe to that channel. That'll help us with our maintenance and being able to brush it up and make it look really good as we go forward. So I think that's it. Once again, the challenge this week is for us to pray that our faith will continue to grow as we practice the spiritual disciplines of daily Bible reading, prayer, and fasting. I hope and pray to see you tomorrow between either 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. or 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. As you make that appointment with God to spend some time with Him. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we're so grateful and thankful for all that you do for us. Lord, help us not to overlook the spiritual disciplines that you have placed before us. Lord, help our faith to be strong. Lord, help us in our area of unbelief. Lord, we believe. Just help us in the areas where we struggle internally with that. Help us not only, Lord, to trust you, but to expect you to do great things as we come to you in prayer. Lord, I pray that you will bless our church. Lord, as we pray for fresh vision as we go into the future, Lord, I don't believe it's by accident that we're where we are, but I believe that you've said it is time for us to take a step forward. I pray you'll lead us and guide us, carry us as a church into the future that will not only reach our town, our county, our state, our country, but the whole world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Lord, give us a great day. Help us to be a blessing in somebody's life as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you Thursday and then Sunday as well.